This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يقول الحق تعالى في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وكذلكم يقول يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. All praise and thanks are due to Allah. We praise Him and we thank Him. We seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We take refuge or protection in Allah from the evils of ourselves and from the sinfulness of our actions. Whomever Allah guides, none can misguide. And whomever Allah misguides, none can guide. I bear witness that there is none worth worshiping but Allah alone with no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his final messenger and his servant. Allah reminds us in Surah Ali Imran, He says, O you who believe, have taqwa of your Lord with the taqwa that is due to Him. And don't die except in a state of Islam, except in a state of submission to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He also tells us in Surah An-Nisa, He says, O people, have taqwa of your Lord who created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and dispersed from both of them many men and women. And have taqwa of your Lord, through whom you ask one another, and the wombs. No doubt Allah is ever over you, an observer. You know, subhanAllah, in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a very well-known wrestler called Rukanah. And Rukanah wasn't a believer at the time, but he was known for his physical feats of strength, of conditioning, of technique. No one could drop Rukanah, after all. He was never beaten. And when the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to him, and this is mentioned in the books of Sirah, like Ibn Ishaq, came to him and challenged him and told him, won't you believe in Allah? Won't you believe that there's none worth worshipping but Allah and that I'm the messenger of Allah? Won't you believe in the day of judgment, in the last day? He told him, I don't believe. He said, let's wrestle. Let me engage you. Let me show you that there's something, there's limitations for you. You have maybe been deluded by your strength and your success and your confidence, but Allahu Akbar, right? And so the narrations say that they start wrestling and almost immediately he drops him to the floor. And Rukanah gets up almost immediately and he says, whoa, what just happened here? Hold on, I've never been beat in my life and you just dropped me to the floor. Let's do it again. And some narrations say as many as three times. While the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued, he continued to say, bear witness that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are different narrations of one, he went back to his qawm, his people, and he told them about what happened. Others that he later became a Muslim. And although these narrations come from Sirah, which is a lower gradient than Hadith, we do have one Hadith that's mentioned in multiple narrations, including in Tirmidhi, that's Hasan Gharib. So it's not authentic to the level of Sahih Hadith, meaning the likelihood is less. But still we know from the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he was powerful in terms of physical strength. We know that during the Battle of the Trench, when the Sahaba were digging, right, and were low on food, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam at the time, he had a rock wrapped around his stomach because he hadn't eaten in 3 days. What did they do when they came across that big boulder or that big rock? They knew who to call. They said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we've come across this rock, we can't remove it. And he hops down sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and with his spade, he hits it and it becomes dust because of his strength. And we know also other narrations in Bukhari about the Battle of the Trench say he was digging so much and carrying all of this weight from the trenches until his chest became dusty, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. We know that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they were in Medina and a loud sound was heard, who was the first one who hopped on a horse bareback and didn't even have time to put the sword around his waist but threw it over his neck? It was the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his speed and his agility, being so nimble on his feet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And we know that even when he used to go into battle, right? We're thinking of modern day, you know, how can we apply these in modern days, lifting up dirt? You know, now we have our medicine balls, we have our kettle balls, we have our dumbbells. He used to wear armor, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as a brother pointed out to me recently, he was saying, you know, we have these weighted vests these days that people are saying, oh my God, it's such an amazing exercise. Walk and put 5 pounds or 10 pounds on your chest and carry. He also used to do that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And just to mention one example in terms of the importance of physical strength, we have the story of Talut in Surah Al-Baqarah. And it's a long story, it takes a couple pages, but just to mention one of them, when he's chosen by the Nabi of their time, after Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, when Bani Israel is told, your leader, because you said you wanted someone to defend you and to help you, is Talut, and they object to that, what does their Nabi say? He said, وَزَادَهُ اللَّهُ بَسْطَةً فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْجِسْمِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, first of all, اصطفاه, he's chosen him from amongst you, and he's increased him in what? Knowledge, and jism literally means the body. And Imam al-Qurtubi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, in his tafsir, he says that what jism here means is that he was physically strong. He was physically strong, and so that gave him qualifications to be a leader as well. We also know of the famous hadith many of us have memorized in Muslim, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه وأرضاه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المؤمن القوي خير وأحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف وفي كل خير, that the strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer, but there's khair in both of them. And so Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala, when he's explaining this hadith in his sharh of Sahih Muslim, he says, he gives many different examples of what does this mean in terms of strength. And this hadith is not only talking about physical strength, but the first example he gives, he says, if Muslims are approached by an enemy, then the strong believer is the first and foremost to go out and say, no, I'm going to face the enemy, is the one with bravery, is the one with physical strength. But he also gives examples in terms of worship. When it's time for those especially supererogatory extra nawafil fast, the strong believer is the one who says, I'm going to fast that Monday and Thursday. I'm going to fast those 3 white days. I'm going to fast those days of Shawwal and those first days of Dhul Hijjah, for example. I'm going to fast the day of Ashura. I'm the one who's going to fast. When it comes to salah and extra salah, the strong believer also has that capacity. It's as if, to relate them both, that physical strength and capacity gives them the opportunity to then increase in those individual ibadat and acts of worship. Now we might ask ourselves the question today, all right, I understand. You know, subhanAllah, there's this benefit of being a strong believer, but all these examples you've given are completely irrelevant to today. We're not in a state of warfare. Alhamdulillah, we don't want to be attacked right now. We don't want bombs falling us or bullets going through the windows. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and protect all the believers everywhere. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma Ameen. However, there are still lessons in there. And again, just going back to that individual worship, many of our brothers and sisters, I'm assuming some even in the jama'ah today, have returned from Hajj. And how difficult is it to perform Hajj on the body? How difficult is it to come here every single night in Taraweeh when it comes to Ramadan time. It takes physical strength to stay standing in prayer. How about tahajjud when the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam's feet used to become inflamed from all the blood rushing down there when he used to spend hours sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That takes physical strength and stamina and resilience as well. And so having that physical strength enables you to better worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being in a better physical state allows you to fast, allows you, opens up those doors of barakat as well. When we lost power earlier this week, right? We know what happened with the construction and every, mashallah, the community came together. Who were the people who were able to say, you know what, brother or sister, I'm going to put out the mats. I'm going to bring the speaker. I'm going to carry this. I'm going to do that. Those who were most, what? Foremost in terms of physical strength and went and took the opportunity. So Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says that the reason that the strong believer is better is because they have a better and higher capacity to serve the ummah. They're more prepared to help other people. In terms of the security team, I'm just mentioning practical opportunities. Mashallah, we saw in Ramadan how many brothers and sisters volunteered and said, you know what, I want to go through the training. Level 1, 2, and 3. I want to go through this. I want to understand this. Why? Because I want to be one of the people whose eyes are protecting the believers as they're praying. This is another opportunity. And just volunteer help, right? We know Brother Tariq in the community, before or after event, he says, can people come and lift this up or take this or take that? If we have that ability where we're not completely exhausted after work, unable to lift our heads, unable to be present with our families, unable to have the energy, the emotional energy and the physical energy to just be present with our families, subhanAllah, then how are we going to do these extra things as well? Now, we might have some objections to this, right? Okay, this is a khutbah about working out and lifting weights and exercising and running. I already work out. I'm already set, mashallah. I have my routine and I'm doing it. And I want to challenge the brothers and sisters who say that. Because we have many examples of people who, mashallah, can lift heavy weights, but when you ask them to run after a quarter mile, a half mile, suddenly they start huffing and puffing. Are you able to run 4 miles and 5 miles and 6 miles and 7 miles in a row? Or those of us who, mashallah, are runners in the community, we have many runners, mashallah, in our community from brothers and sisters who can do a half marathon or a marathon. But when it comes time to lift this or do that, we suddenly get exhausted because physical strength is not there. And so really think about strength and physical fitness, not only in terms of just, you know, brute strength like powerlifting, or in terms of conditioning like running, but also in terms of strength endurance. Are you able to continue that exercise repeatedly? In terms of mobility, especially when you hit 30 and older, are you able to stretch and keep yourself healthy so that when you're walking to the masjid, which is one of the sunan of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you don't suddenly fall down, God forbid, on the steps or whatnot. Another thing is, some people say, I don't want to be muscular. Listen, I don't want to do that because I don't want to be all big and buff. And just know that that's a direct consequence more of diet rather than the type of exercise, although that plays a role as well. Look at some of the strongest physical people in the world, and they tend to come, I'm generalizing, they tend to come from mountainous nations. Look at northern Pakistan and Afghanistan. Mashallah, very strong people in general. Look at Yemen. Look at Chechnya and Dagestan. Many strong people. They live in mountains. And only until recently still you have roads. And so what? You're carrying heavy things. Carrying this goat. Carrying this bag of rice. Going up inclines and declines. What does that do to the body? It's constantly tested. It's constantly tested. And so what? Suddenly they have that strength. And we have to think about ways to replicate that in this day and this age. Someone else might object, some of the younger brothers and sisters. I'm just a kid. What can I do? And I want to remind you, if you didn't hear the news, about 6 weeks ago, when we had those tornadoes, there was a tornado that hit southern Oklahoma, not too far from here. And it was so severe that a 9-year-old boy with his two parents were in their truck, their pickup truck driving. The tornado came, lifted up this truck, and threw it in the trees. I saw pictures, it was like almost completely ruined. Well, this brave young boy, may Allah grant him hidayah, ya Rabbil Alameen, him and his family, he told his parents, he said, please don't die, I'll be back. And during the thunderstorm, he ran 1 mile in about 10 minutes or less, they estimate. As he's running, there are downed power lines, and he's jumping over them, running in between them. It's pitch black, it's in a rural area. How was he able to see? He waited for the lightning strikes. He said, I waited. When the lightning struck, I saw a little bit, and then I ran in that direction. Until he got to a neighbor's house, and he told them, my mom and my dad, they're in critical condition, come and help them. They ended up in the ICU with a broken back, broken ribs, broken neck, broken arms. His father lost a piece of a finger. They would have died if it weren't for his bravery. So never think, okay, this is some outlandish, faraway thing. We need in our Muslim ummah people who are physically strong. Why? To serve the ummah, to serve yourself, to serve your family, to serve your community. This is a community need. Some of us might object and say, I'm too old, brother. I'm too old. I'm an uncle, an auntie, I'm a grandfather, a grandmother. This doesn't apply to me. And I want to remind us of one of the most prominent sahaba, Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhumah, who was 78 years old when he was wielding the spear in the battle of Siffin. And that's where he died as a shaheed. Radiallahu anhu, 78 years old, and he still had that strength. And even of Abu Sufyan, radiallahu anhu, who was in his 60s in the Battle of Hunain. They were constantly active, constantly active. And need I mention a modern day example? Just a few years ago in 2019, after the unfortunate Christchurch massacre that happened to our brothers and sisters in New Zealand, and copycats started to say, oh, we want to also assault Muslims and kill Muslims. Well, in Norway, one of these potential active shooters entered fully armed. And who was the one who jumped on him and tackled him? It was a 65-year-old uncle, or perhaps a grandfather, Muhammad Rafiq, who was formerly in the Pakistani military. He was the one who saved the day, and not a single soul. Imagine how many lives he saved. 65 years old, because he was physically fit, because he was brave as well. And so, again, these are not outlandish things that we need to think about. These are things that are happening now and here. And we need to ask ourselves, how am I, through my physical strength, going to serve the community? How am I going to take this exercise, and instead of just saying, okay, I'm lifting this heavy weight and putting it down, and I'm on this treadmill, and I'm walking around the masjid, which is a great exercise. I'm walking around the masjid after Fajr, and I'm adding some weight. Change your intention and make it a spiritual exercise. And say, Ya Allah, I want to be strong so that I can help other people. I want to be strong for the sake of khidmah, of my community, of the Muslim ummah. I want to be there so when there's a critical time, may Allah protect us, but when there's that critical time, I'm going to be the one to do it. I'll give you another example, a personal anecdote that happened to me a few years ago. I was in a mall in Plano, and my son, subhanAllah, he happened to fall down. And the way he fell down, subhanAllah, it was an accident, it happened. He split open his forehead. And at the time, I was shocked. I didn't know what to do. So I quickly wrapped him with my outer garment, my outer shirt. I tightened it as much as I could. I carried him, and I just ran to the car and ran to the ER. But I was thinking later at the time that if I didn't have at least the physical fitness to carry a child and run through the mall and run to the parking lot and quickly drive, and as I'm doing it, I'm trying to think, where's the closest hospital, looking it up on Google Maps and taking him there. Alhamdulillah, it wasn't anything serious, just some stitches, and he's fine, alhamdulillah. But these are things that happen. These are things we could be hiking a mile away from our car, and suddenly something happens. Someone needs critical medical attention. Are we going to be the person who's able to lift, who's able to carry, who has that stamina? Or are we going to be the person who says, guys, I can't do it. My knees, my muscles, I'm huffing and puffing, I can't do it. Don't let another day pass without making that intention of, Ya Allah, I'm going to take care of this body. I'm going to challenge myself. I'm going to devote myself to a routine. And if I'm already in a routine, I'm going to try other things. Obstacle courses, obstacle course races we have, jumping over walls, rope climbing, different feats of strength where I'm carrying this sandbag, walking around, hiking, doing this and that. Why? For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I want to serve the community. And lastly, one of the objections we have is, I don't have time. It sounds great, but I don't have time for this. What do you mean? I'm way too busy. And I want to remind everybody, including myself, that the Sahaba had the same 24 hours that we had today. We just seem to be a little bit more distracted with our doom scrolling, with our social media. And even though we have appliances that make our lives so much easier, even though we have technology that makes our lives so much easier, subhanAllah, oftentimes, what do? We waste it. When you look at time like money, if you have money, a lot of money, you invest that money, subhanAllah, you can increase it. Similarly with time, if you take some of that time and you invest it in your physical fitness, you're going to feel more energy. You're going to be in a better mood. Your family will be happier to be around you. You'll be able to handle the challenges of life more easily. Why? Because you invested that time. How much time? The American Heart Association says 150 minutes a week. Meaning if you walk, just to start out, walk 5 times a week for 30 minutes. After one of the salawat, you can walk around the masjid, indoors on a treadmill, go to a mall, although there's a lot of corruption there, you know, as well. But going to a mall, it's an opportunity to walk around for 30 minutes, you're going to do it. Or vigorous exercise for 75 minutes a week, or both, meaning 25 minutes, 3 times a week. It doesn't have to be a big thing. And for our children, I see so many children, it's 60 minutes a day. They recommend 60 minutes a day, 1 hour a day, where you're running around, go to the trampoline park, go outside, try to do something physical, and try to get away from those screens for a little bit of time. It's so important for us to build our muscles, to build our bones, to build our endurance and our cardiovascular system. Why? For the sake of Allah. Because this body is not ours. This whole theologically fallacious statement of my body, my choice, I can do what I want. No, this body is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to Him it's going to return. This body is an amana from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us take care of it. I don't want a khutbah to go by without mentioning our brothers and sisters in Palestine and in general and Gaza in particular. When it comes to physical strength, when it comes to standing up for the duty, subhanAllah, we have not seen people like them. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put some of the, just a few situations, a few anecdotes, where someone is unemployed, the father is unemployed, has no income for his family, and he's there in the hospital, morning till evening. What are you doing, brother? Go search for something, help. He said, what am I to do? Let me help some other people who are critically injured. Let me go out there, let me do something for the ummah. Where children are helping other children. You know, I heard the stories from the doctors who came back from Gaza that a child who's 12 is helping a child who's 8, both orphans. Why? Because I'm responsible for him. So I'm going to spend some of my waking day, some of my limited energy, some of my limited food to help my brother or my sister in need. Take advantage of it. Get moving. Get active. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us physical strength and spiritual strength and all types of strength bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, and allow us to seize this opportunity to make critical changes in our lives. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Qayyum as-samawati wal-ardin wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi s-sadiq al-ameen. عباد الله اتقوا الله ويعلمكم الله والله بكل شيء عليم يقول الله تعالى وأعدوا لهم ما استطعتم من قوة وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المؤمن القوي خير وأحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف وفي كل خير استغفر الحمد لله رب العالمين مدبر الخلائق أجمعين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الصادق الأمين عباد الله اتقوا الله ويعلمكم الله والله بكل شيء عليم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن أبي بكر الصديق وعمر بن الخطاب الفاروق وعثمان بن عفان ذي النورين وعلي بن أبي طالب المرتضى وحمزة أسد الله والعباس وولده وعن الصحابة أجمعين وعن التابعين لهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وللمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأعلي كلمتي الحق والدين اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في فلسطين وفي غزة خاصة وفي مشارق الأرض ومغاربها يا رب العالمين اللهم أنت أعلم بأحوالهم فانصرهم وكن في عونهم وثبت أقدامهم وفرج عنهم ونفس كربهم وفك أسرهم ودمر أعداءهم أعداء الدين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. وأقم الصلاة.